Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. We are happy to bring Christ for Us to you every Sunday morning. Today we read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. These words that God revealed to the prophet Isaiah set forth with crystal clarity the heart of the Christian faith. Christ for us. We call it the vicarious atonement. Jesus acted vicariously, that is, as the substitute for sinners. He didn't suffer for his own sin because he committed no sin. And he didn't suffer without any cause or purpose. He suffered for us. He suffered instead of us. He bore our grief. He carried our sorrows. God struck him. God beat him. God afflicted him. Yes, God punished him. This is what the prophet says. This is what was fulfilled on Calvary. God punished Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Had we not committed any sin, there would have been no need for him to be wounded or bruised. It was for us. It was as our substitute. He suffered the punishment that secured our peace. The price had to be paid, and he was the only one who could pay it. And that's what he did. The whipping on his back caused stripes to form where his flesh was torn. This is what brought healing to us. All that he suffered was for our gain. All that he bore in his body, he bore in order to remove it from us. The sins, the guilt, the punishment, the suffering, the anger, indeed, damnation itself, all belong to us, and by his substitution for us, it became his. We went astray. We wandered away from God like sheep. God told us what was right and what was wrong. We didn't listen. We went our own way. And we incurred a debt of sin that we owed to God. Jesus paid it. God placed on him our guilt. This is the vicarious atonement. It is vicarious. Jesus took our place. It is atonement. Jesus paid our debt and made peace with God for us. We deserve the suffering that he received. We receive the joy that he deserved. All our guilt is placed on him, so that all his righteousness may be reckoned to us. Luther called it the blessed exchange. It is at the center of our Christian faith. It is the reason why Jesus was born. It is the reason he died. It is the source of forgiveness and salvation. It brings us hope and confidence before God. It is what we believe and teach and preach and confess to the whole world. The vicarious atonement is the foundation of our faith, but it causes offense. It brings to some great comfort and peace. To others, it is deeply offensive. For example, the Muslim religion strongly condemns the doctrine of the vicarious atonement. They rightly teach that Jesus was an innocent man who never committed a single sin. But they conclude from this that God could not possibly have permitted Jesus to suffer as the prophet here describes. They deny that Jesus died on the cross. They claim that Judas was substituted in his place, and that it was Judas who died on the cross. God would not have permitted an innocent man to suffer in this way, they claim. Others who claim the name of Christian also deny the vicarious atonement. They reject it because they claim that it teaches that God must be bought off. It supposedly makes God into an angry judge who will not love us until his wrath is placated. So the Son of God comes between God's wrath and this sinful world and turns an angry God into a loving God. They deny the vicarious atonement because they say it is unworthy of a loving God. But they distort the teaching of the vicarious atonement when they say this. It's true that Christ has borne the wrath of God against this sinful world and suffered in the place of all sinners. And it is true that this vicarious suffering has placated God and has brought about the salvation of sinners. But it is false to say that Christ has bought God off, or that God would not love us until his Son suffered for us. Indeed, it was precisely because God loved us that he sent his dear Son to suffer for us. Listen to how Paul Gerhardt puts it in his wonderful Lenten hymn, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth. He writes, "This Lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the Lamb of God our Savior. Him God the Father chose to send to gain for us his favor. Go forth, my son, the Father saith, and free men from the fear of death, from guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by thy passion men shall share the fruit of thy salvation. Yea, Father, yea, most willingly I'll bear what thou commandest. My will conforms to thy decree. I do what thou demandest. O wondrous love, what hast thou done? The Father offers up his Son. The Son content descendeth. O love, how strong thou art to save. Thou beddest him within the grave, whose word the mountains rendeth." The vicarious atonement presents us with a wonderful mystery. The Father's love for us sent his Son to suffer and die for us. And it is on account of his Son's vicarious suffering and dying that the Father forgives us. He loves us, so he sends his Son to suffer. And on account of that suffering, he loves us and forgives us. The two go together. The Father's love sends the Son, and the dying, the vicarious suffering of the Son, is held up to the Father, and the Father sees this, and he loves those people whose sins his dear Son has washed away. His love is no sissy love. It is so strong that he kills his eternal and immortal Son, laying in the grave him by whose almighty word the world was made. That the Creator could become a creature and remain the Creator is a mystery too deep for us to plumb. That the only innocent man could become the guilty man without ever committing a single sin is another mystery too deep to fathom. Now this Creator become creature, this innocent man become guilty man, is one and the same Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals the Father's love by taking our place and vicariously suffering what we deserved, so that we would not have to suffer it ourselves. The vicarious atonement is at the very heart of our Christian faith, because here it is that justice and mercy meet. Those who know their own sins can appreciate this. Those who don't, can't. As the hymnist writes, "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose its error great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. But where the law has been silenced, sin no longer burdens the soul. And where there is no knowledge of sin, there's no need for the vicarious atonement. And this is why this precious truth is so often thrown out of the church and despised. But real sinners have real burdens. They have real burdens of real guilt that they bear. And so they need a real Savior. And apart from the vicarious atonement of Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sins. A just God cannot forgive unless the price for disobedience has been paid. Someone must pay the price. And words announcing forgiveness are empty words unless those words are grounded in Christ's vicarious atonement. How can I know that God has forgiven me my sin? I can know this only when I know that He has laid my sin on the suffering servant who has fully suffered the penalty I deserved. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sheep go astray because they foolishly wander off to where they cannot hear the shepherd's voice. Then they are dependent on themselves. They are helpless against their predators. They cannot live in the wilderness without the protection of their shepherd. And here we see the wonder of God's love. As the hymnist puts it, "What punishment so strange is suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander." As the prophet said, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And this is how we find our way back home again. It is only when the suffering servant, the good shepherd, suffers for our sins and bears them away that we can know and love and serve God. For the vicarious atonement is not just a theological term that we must learn. It is the foundation of our Christian faith. It is what the Holy Spirit gives to us and makes us God's children through faith. Christ for us is not just a slogan or the title of a radio broadcast, but it is God's pledge to us that our sin cannot claim us or destroy us because we belong to the one who has borne our sins and set us free. This is what we believe, and this is what we teach, and this is what we confess. And when we call ourselves confessional Lutherans, that's what we're talking about. We believe that the message of Christ for us needs to be confessed to the world. And we're happy that you've joined us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. And we invite you to tune in next week and listen once more. This broadcast is sponsored by members of this parish who believe that the message of Christ for us is the most important message that any of us could hear in our lives. If you'd like to know a little bit more about our parish and about this broadcast, send me an email. Go to christforus.org on the World Wide Web and just click on my name, Pastor Rolf Preuss. Send me an email. I'd be happy to get back to you and talk to you about the broadcast or our parish, the gospel, whatever you'd like to discuss. And please tune in next Sunday morning at the same time, same station for the next broadcast.